Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Well, I'm back, and the world is a completely different place than when I left. This is just how it works, apparently, in 2024. We'll catch up on all of the craziness after a word from our sponsor, Jace Medical. After the Hurricane Beryl situation, over 2 million people were left without power in Texas. You know, during the summer, intense heat, humidity, Texans are preparing themselves for the severe thunderstorms and power outages that usually follow these hurricanes. But with weather like this, it really can be difficult to do anything, let alone get to the pharmacy and to your doctor. There is something that you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have the medication on hand that you need, and it's called the Jace Case. It'll allow you to start stocking up on medication now so you're prepared. The Jace Case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use, and you just fill out a simple form online. You'll have it in case you need it. Why not? Why wouldn't you want one of these? Jace Medical encourages you to take your family's health into your own hands, and that's the most important thing. You're responsible for your family, not the government, so take responsibility for getting a Jace Case. It's jace.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at jace.com, jase.com. It is the Jace Case from Jace Medical.
Stu Does America.
Be sure to keep up to date on the 2024 election with State of the Race. It's a podcast series. It's completely free to you. It is available under the Stu Does America podcast stream. You can watch the show as well here on YouTube if you happen to be watching there. Or you can check out the entire lineup of our comedy bits, the live streams. We've been doing a lot of the live streams lately, so check that out as well. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Click the bell for notifications so that you know when we're doing it after a big news event or as we get closer to the election, there's going to be stuff going on, I think. There may be an occasional event that needs your attention, so we'll be doing those. Dave Landau is here for a comedian's look at the 2024 election and the kind of a crap show that we're in the middle of. I had to make sure I phrased that correctly. Joe Biden declares war on the Supreme Court. No surprise there. But we start by doing the rise of Kamala. Yes, Kamala is here. The time is here. And I will tell you, I have been on vacation a decent amount over the past few weeks. And I am got more vacation coming up. And it's all jammed in this really quiet time in every election cycle between the two conventions. Because what you do is you have this first convention, and a lot of stuff goes on. And then you have that break before the second convention. And really, all you have is a kind of the rollout of the VP. There's not a lot going on. So I figured I should take my vacation around here. Therefore, when we get past the DNC and the election's really in full swing, I'll make sure I'm here from here until like Christmas. And usually that works. This year, not so much. Every single thing has occurred. It is the craziest thing. I think since the last time we joined each other, since the beginning of my vacation a few weeks ago, we had, Joe Biden was the nominee back then. He eventually became receptive to calls to drop out, and then he did drop out. Then he got COVID, of course, as well. He was starting to cancel events. Trump was shot in the middle of a speech on live television. That's kind of a big deal. The classified documents case existed. Now it does not, at least for the time being. We had the death of Sheila Jackson Lee, the representative. Bob Newhart, we lost friggin' Newhart. That's like, I mean, I can't deal with that. Elon Musk still had his companies headquartered in California, hadn't announced a move to Texas yet. Kim Cheadle, still the head of the Secret Service. The Olympics hadn't started yet. I mean, how much has happened over the past few weeks? It's been the craziest few weeks I've ever seen. Since that debate occurred, it has been nonstop chaos. And I can't believe we are where we are. I will say a lot of you have asked for an update on the bet I have with Glenn Beck. And this was a large bet we made. It was $3,000. I was sure I was going to win it. He at one point was so sure he was going to lose, that he said he was going to give up. I should really look at the legal restrictions. Maybe that counts as a give up. At the end of the day, my bet was that Joe Biden was going to be the nominee in November, and his bet was that Michelle Obama was going to be. Now, I did say there is a chance of Joe Biden dropping out. And one of the reasons why I was comfortable going through with this bet was my thought was if Biden drops out, the most likely person is going to be Kamala Harris. And of course, everyone thought that was a joke at the time. But, you know, she's the vice president of the United States. If you're going to abandon her, you have to abandon the entire record of the administration. And of course, what they want to do is somehow convince you that actually Joe Biden's been fantastic as president. This has been a great 3.5 years. He just got a little too old. It was like that 81 plus 184 days or something was the key point where he just fell over, could no longer do the job. Of course, he can still do the job. That's why he still has the job. In fact, he's doing a great job. There's no reason for him to leave the White House, but there's just a reason for him to leave the nomination. No one really gets this at all. I will say, though, it would be a mistake to just overpass Kamala because you look at her and she was terrible as vice president and she was terrible in her campaign, and therefore Trump should beat her. Now, look, Trump should beat her. Trump is still the favorite in this race. But it is a lot more difficult to beat someone who is pretty incompetent and kind of a fool than someone who can't, you know, walk across stage. Kamala is going to be more formidable than Joe Biden would be in his current state. It's just true. I watched the debate coverage we did here on Blaze TV. We did that, and on the way home, I was checking out the CNN coverage because I wanted to see them in full-fledged panic. And about an hour and a half into that coverage, they throw on Kamala for an interview with, I think it was Anderson Cooper. And look, was she good? No, she wasn't good. I would not describe her as good. She's obviously crazy liberal. She is a liar. I mean, she's been lying for years about the health of Joe Biden, among other things. But what she is a much more competent interview, a much more competent speech giver, a much more competent and coherent debater than Joe Biden was. And that makes this a different thing. People ask me when I was on vacation a lot, because, of course, all I do on vacation is talk politics with my friends, because that's what they want to know about. This is the big thing. And they said, well, what do you think? Do you think she has a chance? And I think, yeah, I said, yeah, I think it is. I mean, my estimation was it was like a 10% chance for Joe Biden to win. It was like a 10-90. Donald Trump had a massive, massive lead. That's a good dynamic for Donald Trump, a 10-90 situation for Joe Biden. Now I think it's like a 40-60 for Kamala Harris. It's much closer. She has a chance to win. My guess is she will fail because she sucks, right? And usually this stuff plays out in front of our eyes. But you have to understand it is a real possibility. And it's something that if Donald Trump doesn't prepare for and act like he's really in danger of losing here, he could easily lose. Look, she could easily poll and progress as a run-of-the-mill generic Democrat. And if she does that, she's got a real chance to win. If she comes off as much, much worse, I think she's a below replacement level type of candidate. But if she is able to keep it close to average, look, we all know half the country has Trump derangement syndrome. They're not going to vote for the guy no matter what. So you've got a narrow window to win here. I mean, a lot of these people were voting for Joe Biden. He was only down by 3.5 points. He couldn't even walk across the stage. So that's where we are right now. Let me give you a couple of the other updates. Mark Kelly, seen most favorably of the potential VP picks, followed by Shapiro, Beshear, and Buttigieg. I'd be surprised if they went with Buttigieg. Honestly, he's on TV a lot. He's going for it for sure. Kelly and Shapiro seem like the two most likely people for this job. There's some groundswell for Tim Walz online. I don't know if that's a real thing. On paper, Kelly's the perfect candidate. Swing state, former astronaut. He's a guy who has military experience. Plus, with the fact that Donald Trump was almost assassinated on stage, they have the same sort of thing they can talk about with Gabby Giffords almost getting killed in a mass shooting. They can bring this back to gun violence. There's a lot there on paper. I did go do the tape work, if you will. If you want to do NFL analysts, you can do the on paper work. Then you do the tape work. You watch the actual games. And watching the actual debate of Mark Kelly, not impressive. I mean, Kelly was he stumbled a lot. He felt it looked like he wasn't confident. He was going back to the same talking points, even when they didn't apply to what he was talking about. It was uncomfortable to watch. I was watching some Josh Shapiro tape. Shapiro's much better. He's much smoother. I mean, if I was picking as Kamala, I mean, I would lean toward Josh Shapiro, obviously maybe even a more important swing state. But also, like, he was answering questions about the assassination attempt, and he knew it wasn't the time to make nonsensical political statements. He was smooth. He was able to push those things off. If I was going to be scared of one of these guys, it would probably be Shapiro. Now, what I will say is that the Democrats don't really like Jews so much these days. I don't know if anyone's noticed that. And people have pointed this out. Like, there's no way they're going to pick Josh Shapiro after, you know, the way their left flank feels about Israel. And that is a legitimate point. They very well might not pick him for that reason. But man, if I were picking, I think the choice would be pretty clear. We will see which way they go. Trump is trying to block all of this cash going to Kamala Harris. They filed a complaint to block the Biden war chest to Harris. I don't know that this will be successful. It seems like that's the way the rules were set up. Since Harris was on the ticket, she's able to claim this cash. We will see if that holds up in court. Of course, they're going to challenge it, though. They're going to do everything they can to keep $90 million away from your opponent. So they're going to do that. And now we are in the point of the time where everyone changes their opinion on Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was a failure as a VP. She was incredibly unpopular. Massive amounts of media stories were written about what a failure she was. And it was written in a way to kind of prop up Biden, right? Biden's the one doing all the work. She's hampering him. She gave him the border. She gave him Ukraine. All those things have turned into disasters. Not Biden's fault. Now we have to ignore that. She was not the border czar now. She did not ask for her followers to donate money to an organization that was freeing criminals that burned down the city in Minnesota. And worse, accused murderers, bail them out of jail. That didn't happen now, we're told by the media. And the rollout is going exactly how every one of us expected. If you go back and watch the lives that I did on YouTube, I talked about this specifically. When people were saying, oh, yeah, Kamala Harris, what, you know, she's an idiot. She's not going to win. Well, she very well might not win, but it won't be for lack of trying. The media got what they wanted. They were able to basically overthrow a Democratic candidate by just pleading and begging and hitting them day after day after day after day. Now, it was in with help of the Democratic establishment as well. But the media does have influence. I said this at the very beginning of the campaign. This is going to be a fascinating study as to whether the mainstream media still has the pull that it used to have. Can they manipulate an election toward their chosen candidate? Well, we kind of know the answer. The answer right now is yes. They were successful in overthrowing the Democratic nominee. They were successful. They all knew what he was going into that election. They ignored it. They hid it the entire time. And the second they felt that it was going to cost them this election, they completely reversed themselves and decided to become journalists for 2 weeks. And they got the guy out. Well, what does that mean? If you are the type of person who maybe you've worked at a company and there's a big project in the company, you're like, this is a terrible idea. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. We got to do this. And everyone's going that direction. You're the one voice out there saying, no, we got to go the other direction. And then you succeed. And then you say, holy crap, now my butt is on the line for whatever comes next. That is where the media is with Democrats. They're going to do everything they can to make Kamala a thing. Fetch will become a thing if the media is capable of doing it, and they're going to try. So they are doing everything that you'd expect. Their favorability, of course, for Kamala is now up. It was up now 8 points since the announcement. She was at 35% favorable just a couple weeks ago. Now it's 43%. She's actually above water slightly. Much of this can be dismissed correctly for sort of just a honeymoon period, right? She's new on the scene. Most Democrats are just happy Biden isn't in it anymore. They have not judged Kamala honestly or fairly. This does not mean she's going to roar to the White House, but she does have a chance. If she's able to come out with some amazing campaign here and do a great job, she's got a shot. She's got a shot, unfortunately. Now, you could tell they don't have much against the Republican ticket. Obviously, it's hard to criticize Trump. They've been doing it for so long anyway. There's nothing new to say, not to mention the guy was almost killed on stage the other day. So they're going after J.D. Vance, and they're calling him weird. So I don't know if you watched the Olympic coverage at all. You saw a guy with, like, his testicles flopping out of his shorts. He's painted blue, and they're mocking the Last Supper. That's normal. J.D. Vance, the military veteran, the best-selling author who rose up out of poverty to become a vice presidential nominee and a senator, that's weird. The fact that he's got a nice family, that's weird. The fact that he thinks children are a positive, a net positive for society, that's the weird one. Not the guy dressed in blue, not the festivals in San Francisco when people are giving each other oral sex on the streets. That's normal, but J.D. Vance is the weird one. That's what you're supposed to believe. There's really a clear path here, a couple clear choices here. How is America going to actually choose? That's still up in the air. And then we have the media doing what they do. Let me ask you this question. If I were to say person A is fending off the attacks of person B, who's the bad guy in that scenario? Who's a good guy in that scenario? Is there one? Well, yeah, I think everyone would say, well, the person getting attacked is the victim. And the fact that they're fending off attacks is somewhat heroic, right? Like, that's the way you'd frame that if I didn't give you names. Well, this is how every attack is framed now on Kamala Harris. Trump honing attacks on Harris, casting her as a far-left threat. They said they were attacking her. She was fending off the attacks of being the border czar, of saying she didn't want fracking, when her campaign has now stated that she's fine with fracking, or not fine with it, at least not going to ban it. These aren't attacks. Okay, they are pointing out who she is. She was named the most liberal person in the Senate. And just so you know, they pulled down the page saying she was the most liberal senator in the Senate. And they redirected you to look at her other page, her career page, instead of her single year page, where she is now fourth most liberal in the Senate. Okay, let's just say she's fourth most liberal in the Senate. She's incredibly liberal. She is very much, as she said, without question, for banning fracking. And now she's reversing these things. And it's not pointed out as like, hey, she's changed her public position. She's had a position she held for years and years, reiterated it publicly in campaigns over and over again. Now she's saying the opposite. What the hell is going on? That's the news story. The news stories instead are covering how Republicans are pointing it out and saying that there are attacks that she has to fend off. This is how the media does it. This is the sleight of hand. And you will, I told you this in the moment, I hope you listened to me. I hope you sat back and enjoyed it. When you have something great going on, I hope you sit back and you enjoy it. I hope you sit back. I told you I went to this baseball tournament in Cooperstown with my son. He hit a home run. And I can tell you, man, you know, if you watch the video, I freaking enjoyed it. In the moment, I enjoyed it. Well, I hope in the moment you enjoy the 2 weeks of the golden age of journalism, where all of the sudden, out of nowhere, for 2 weeks, they actually did their jobs. For 2 weeks, they followed up when the White House gave them a BS response. For 2 weeks, they asked questions you actually cared about. They asked questions about, hey, can you even do this job? For 2 weeks, they followed up. They asked interesting questions. They did journalism. They dug. They got quotes on the record over and over again. I hope you enjoyed it, because it's dead now. They've completely reversed themselves. And now Joe Biden was wonderful. He was amazing. And Kamala Harris is the only person on earth who could be better. Get used to it. 3 months of Kamala is Rosa Parks is in your future. I hope you enjoy that as much as I will as well. You know, Kamala Harris is making a big deal about health care. It's a right. It's a right. That's why, as a right, you have to sign up for their crappy programs that have been catastrophes since day one. Wouldn't it be better if you could do something else? Well, you can. Americans are hurting financially right now. Healthcare costs are out of control. And we know the government isn't the answer. Well, what is? Try Lassie. Lassie Health is here to shake things up. L-A-A-S-Y. It's Lassie Health. It's not health insurance. It's access to the health care that you want without all the red tape, restrictions, and inflated costs. Now, we're talking about coverage that starts at just $30 a month. $30 a month. For that, you'll get transparent pricing, comprehensive coverage tailored to your needs, and access to healthcare services without breaking the bank. There's no annual or lifetime caps on services, and you can start a plan at any time. You get over 400 prescription medications for free. 400 for free. Free unlimited virtual mental health counseling. Free 24/7 virtual urgent care. Lab tests up to 60% off. Imaging tests up to 75% off. Procedures and surgeries over 50% off. Lassie Health is a game changer. Check out affordable plans that put you in control of your own health care. What a concept. HealthyLink.com/Stu is the place to go to get this. Check it out. Understand what you're getting here. This is really, really good stuff. You're going to like it. For a limited time, you get your first month free, up to $100 off eligible plans. So get healthy, be healthy, stay healthy without breaking the bank at HealthyLink.com/Stu. It's Lassie Health. It's available at HealthyLink.com/Stu.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
I'm joined now by Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. Dave, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Last time I talked to you, I can remember specifically because we all gathered here in this room to watch a debate. A debate we thought would be maybe kind of boring. Two candidates we've already seen together. What could possibly happen?
Yes.
And then the craziest month of politics any of us have ever seen occurred.
Yes.
Was it shocking to you, or are you just at this point anything goes?
Well, you know, I honestly thought, and I think we had all sort of called it a little bit early, that it was going to be Biden's... It was going to be the way that Biden was going to get forced out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
so you were expecting it a little bit.
I wasn't expecting everything that happened the way okay, that it did. I wasn't expecting the assassination attempt.
Right.
And then I wasn't expecting Biden to go, I'm going to stay in it. And then, unless I get COVID, I got COVID, I got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they took out their own in 4 minutes. He's just like, here's Kamala. You're right, I don't feel so good. Bye. Like, it was crazy how quickly that all unfolded in a matter of weeks. Like, I knew it was going to be a little shady,
yeah.
But now we've just dealt with the darkest, shadiest, weirdest month of politics since then.
Yes.
That I can't even wrap my head around it. They just think we're either the stupidest people imaginable, or they are the stupidest people imaginable running our country.
What if both are true? Have you ever considered that maybe we are the dumbest people imaginable and they're the dumbest people imaginable?
I think you're right. We're living in that time.
I really are. Yeah. Really are. I was thinking about this, and maybe you have a different theory on this, but I was trying to trace this back to the beginning. How did this all happen? Like, if you want Joe Biden out, there's an obvious way to do it. You pressure him in November of last year, leading up to a primary. You know, Gavin Newsom jumps in, Gretchen Whitmer jumps in, Kamala Harris, maybe, who knows? You have a primary, you sort it out.
Kamala third would probably be the most logical way to go with
yes,
that,
yes,
sure.
Yes, probably true. But then he stays in, he wins this primary. They clear the field for him, right? Like, they toss out RFK Jr., they cancel primaries, they reorder them so the states Biden wins go first, right? They do all this. And then for some reason, he gets on the internet and is like, hey, I want to debate you. I'll do it twice. One in June. And like, I keep coming back to the idea, how did this thing happen in June? It's months before normal. Mm-hmm. Did somebody fake him into having an early debate so they'd have time to switch? Like,
yes.
What happened?
I completely think that's why.
Really?
I think they convinced him to go in early in June because they saw the writing on the wall and they were like, look, he'll go in. We won't give him any special medicine this time. We're not going to give him whatever injection we've been giving him of B12 mixed with what I'm assuming is some kind of upper, many kinds of uppers.
Right, yep.
Whatever the amount of lethal uppers, like just to the won't kill you amount.
Right, a hair south of lethal.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Whatever they put in before they gave you the Valium to bring it down.
Yeah.
And then whatever they brought him in for, they assumed he was going to just go in, no pills, no drugs, and then fail. But then when we saw it, they were like, wow, this was worse than we thought. Like, he can't get three words together.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to get him out immediately. And then they thought, let's get rid of both of them immediately, which was the worst idea ever. Yeah. Like the idea, like apparently Secret Service with the Trump thing means if you see an assassin, you keep it a secret.
Right. Yeah. It's like, a very secretive band of brothers type of thing.
Right.
A blue line. We never tell other people that we see gunmen on roofs.
Right. It's very important because the more information that has come out, we know that it's good if you see somebody out a window, you don't take action.
Right.
If someone's yelling, there's somebody with a gun, you pay no attention. Mm-hmm. If there's a ladder set up to go to a roof in a nearby area,
yeah,
that's nothing that seems suspicious. And then with Biden, the second he got shot in the ear, Biden was just like, I got a cold, no more presidency.
Yeah.
Like the whole way it's come together, I think they just flub after flub after flub after flub. That now, when you even go to Google, you can't search Donald Trump assassination as of yesterday.
What is that? It comes up with like the autocorrect or autocomplete comes up with it's not like Truman's assassination.
It's like Truman assassination. It's like it's everything but that. It will come up, and you can't, even if you get to the before the last part of assassination or the last part of Trump, nothing will come up at all. It's insane to me now to think that how are we supposed to believe that big tech isn't playing with it? How are we supposed to trust anything? You can't.
No, you can't at all.
It's too much proof.
What do you think is the truth with the assassination attempt? Because I am a big believer in government incompetence.
Right? I am too.
I know it's a real thing, but I'm not a big conspiracy guy. You know, like I don't necessarily jump into those things that much unless I really feel like I have evidence. But looking at this one, you can completely understand people jumping to anything. It's so completely nuts. They're like the first time they came out and they did this thing, they're like, he was on the roof for 90 seconds until before he took that shot. And I was like, holy crap, 90 seconds? And then we're like, actually, 26 minutes. And he was there for 2 hours and he flew a drone.
Over the
event to check it out. At one point, he came out and asked the Secret Service where the best place to take a shot was. Like, what is happening?
Also, did you see what he looked like?
Yeah, yes.
Just being near there.
Immediately, you knew he was an assassin.
Right.
Right?
Just had that face.
He did, immediately.
Everybody who's seen the guy has had any information. You have the right to think that it's a conspiracy.
Yes, I feel like you do.
And if it's not a conspiracy, then we're working with the worst people imaginable to defend any president. So what's worse?
Yeah.
I'd almost rather have them go, oh yeah, they're conspiring to kill him.
No, we tried. We tried to get him, and then, we just missed.
Right, then go, our Secret Service, when they take action, behave as if there's a bunch of banana peels on a stage.
Yes!
And just slam into a guy.
Yeah.
Who's, by the way, a head taller than all of them. That's important.
Is it?
When guarding a man.
Is it?
To make sure that he's taller than all the Secrets.
You must be a security expert.
I am. I'm 5'6". I've been hired to guard many men.
Yes, many, many, very tall. Wilt Chamberlain.
Shaq.
Webanyama.
He's one of them.
Yeah. I keep looking at this and I can't understand. I want to believe the best, right? I really do.
I wish I could.
It's hard to anymore. It's hard to honestly believe anything the government tells you anymore.
Well, and people talk about the MKUltra thing. That keeps coming up. And they go, do you think that they will go into these classes and find the nerdiest kids? And it's like, well, maybe I do believe it now. Mm. Because they're not necessarily the strongest. Like, perhaps you should get people with muscle mass or maybe some bone marrow that can handle a rifle.
Yes.
Maybe somebody with enough calcium to be able to aim correctly.
Yes.
That would make more sense than the nerdiest looking person imaginable. To have them all of a sudden get some trigger to then go and crawl up on a roof. But
there has to be a certain amount of misery involved in a person's life, though. I feel like that you look at him, you're like, okay, that guy hates his life. Then there's another step, right? Like, I don't know. There's a certain amount of life success that leads you away from assassination.
Of course.
Is that true? Is there a ratio that we can figure out?
I would assume there's really any kind of success in life. Yeah. I think if somebody had just brought him to a strip club, he could have had a better day.
Yes! <It's> just There we go.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's what you should do.
No.
But I'm just saying it's a deterrent from going, yeah, you know what, maybe I'll just take the day off from pointing a gun at someone.
Yes. I will say given the choice.
Yes, if you had the choice between the two things.
Yeah. And then in between all of this, we have the classified documents case goes up in smoke. That's gone now. The thing we were told was going to be the big focus of the election, Donald Trump's criminal enterprises.
Yeah.
All of it's gone except the weakest case that everyone laughs at. You now have Kamala freaking Harris. Like, this is really happening. She's going to be the nominee for the Democrats.
Well, here's the part, too. The next day, they had so many pre-shot commercials of her asking for money.
Yeah.
Where did you get all these? It's her in various different locations. And all these pre-shot stuff just saying, like, I'm going to run for president. So please donate money. Why did you have all these?
That's a great question.
I understand, like, if it was Kamala Harris for president, like, if this was ever thought of before, there's been points made, but it's specifically as if they knew he was going to leave. It wasn't just, none of it makes sense. I can't make sense of it.
No.
I went from seriously, Joe Biden, please donate to me, to just all of a sudden pre-recorded commercials. And so far, her campaign has been dancing in various locations.
Yeah.
That's her promise. She'll be dancing.
Right. And it's fascinating because, like, I think we all saw in 2020 that if you have Kamala Harris in front of the nation for a certain period of time, they're going to get really annoyed by her.
Yes.
She didn't even make it to Iowa, right?
No.
But, like, is that the plan here? They've only have to get her through 3 months. They're going to have this sort of, Rosa Parks sort of news coverage of her, making her out to be the next great racial hero and hero of healing our nation. She's going to get the Obama treatment here for 3 months.
Yes.
Can the media is capable. We now know the media is capable of implementing a coup in the Democratic Party if they want it.
Right.
They can just keep doing this over and over again for 2 weeks and get the guy thrown out. That can happen. Can they push her into the White House?
I think it's sadly possible. I didn't think before, but I think they're going with it's time to put an Asian woman in the driver's seat. I think it's a great way to run. Part of it is she's also Jamaican. They're convincing people she's black. Mm-hmm. She has ancestry of slave owners.
Yeah.
She's not this person that they're making her out to be.
No, not at all. And I don't understand how many categories, like, I don't know. Like, they keep saying, oh, the first Asian American, or what's the other term they use? Pacific Asian American? I can't remember. There's some term that they always use here. I've lost track of it.
She's basically the Rock, where you're what is she? And you're like, I don't know.
All of the things.
Yeah.
But does she cross off? Does she break all the glass ceilings for all these groups?
Right.
Like, there's going to be some person who's, like, born of two, like, you know, Asian parents that comes over here and is, well, 100% Asian. They came over here. They had their kid. He rides up to be president, they're going to be like, oh, actually, no, Kamala Harris beat you to it? That's going to make no sense at all.
Yeah, and they're going, no, well, I thought she was the first black female
right.
president. They're like, oh, she was.
Yeah, first black female. I mean, she gets all the checkboxes? That's
right.
Unfair.
No, it's not right at all. And even Obama over the weekend, did you see the phone call video?
Oh, when they called Kamala to, like, oh, my God. That was horrific.
Regardless of what anybody thinks about Obama, he has charisma and he was good at speaking and he's always been good at tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
What he wrote about her had no emotion. There was nothing to it. It looked like he was being forced to write something nice about an aunt he had never met.
Yes.
It was so bland.
Yeah.
It just like, this is her time to shine, I guess. Good luck.
Yeah, I guess.
The pleasure. What a great.
Well, when he first came out with the statement about Biden stepping down, which, of course, he had said, no, he's got to stay in there. He already wrote a passionless statement in support of Biden.
Right.
Then he writes the statement. The only time he had any passion this entire time was, I can't wait for the Democratic Party to design a process in which we come up with a nominee. He was very specific about this process he thought was coming. I mean, people kept saying this was Obama who did it, but it doesn't seem like he got what he wanted.
No, I feel for all the people that said he's pulling the strings, this proves he's not.
Yeah.
That's really what I think. I really don't think he's behind it.
Is it Pelosi? Who is it?
I don't think it is. She can't even pull the strings in her own marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, she can't. She's got her straight husband going out all the time.
I mean, look, we've all had visitors at that hour
listen,
of the evening.
I have been in many car accidents with strange men in the middle of the night.
It happens to all of us.
And who I don't want to be reported on. We've all been there. I don't know who's pulling the strings at this point.
Yeah.
It just seems to be, it could be anybody. It seems to be something so much greater, because it's like you said, you have the assassination attempt on Trump, then you have Biden stepping down, and then all of a sudden, oh, this big court problem, that's gone. Mm-hmm. They erase that in a second. So it's like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
No, all charges are dropped.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that decision was made pretty quick, like in 10 hours.
It's fascinating.
Like the whole thing that we've been staring at now at the TV for several months, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've come to the conclusion I'm going to eliminate the phrase unless something crazy happens from my vocabulary. Because I say this all the time, like, oh, yeah, well, Biden's going to be the presidential nominee for the Democrats, unless something crazy happens.
Right.
But it always does.
I think you just say, unless something normal happens,
right. There we
and
go.
Then that will be stunning.
Yeah, that's why it's normal world. Like, you're trying to envision normal world. It doesn't exist anymore, I hate to tell you.
And that's why we call it that.
There you go.
Is because there's nothing that we report on that's normal.
Nothing at all.
I don't even call it reporting. We just play clips and are shocked at what we see.
Yes, that's the way to do it. And you have plenty of material right now. Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. Dave, thanks so much for doing this, man. Coming on the
Thank
show.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, Constitution Wealth. It's the Patriot's choice for wealth management. You know, if you are the type of person who goes into, and you're going into a 7-Eleven, you're trying to think of what you're going to have for a weekend beer, maybe. It's a summer beer. You want to have something maybe on the light side. You look at Bud Light and you're like, I'm going to pick something else. If you're that person, that helps, right? It helps move the culture. But what can really help move the culture is your retirement funds. Like, if you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars, I hope you do, saved up for retirement, maybe in some various funds or whatever, and then you're sticking it in some big company that is just distributing it and picking companies that you can't stand and investing your money there, big money. You don't want that. You gotta figure out a way around that so you can be consistent with your values but still get the returns that you need. Constitution Wealth are the people that can help you with this. You gotta retire someday. They can help you reduce your investments in woke corporations. You can avoid DEI. You can avoid the ESG stuff. They know how to navigate these waters. I don't freaking know how to do it, but they certainly know how to do it. So let me give you how you can get involved with these guys, because they're really good people. You're gonna enjoy talking to them. ConstitutionWealth.com/Blaze. ConstitutionWealth.com/Blaze. You can get a free consultation today. Get set up. ConstitutionWealth.com/Blaze. Joe Biden has written an op-ed in the Washington Post. It's entitled, Joe Biden, My Plan to Reform the Supreme Court and Ensure No President is Above the Law. Now, there's a lot to disagree with in this and a lot of questions I would have. Although the first thing it says is they always identify the op-ed. Who is this person? Why are you reading it? And it says, the writer is the president of the United States. Is he? Really? Is he? I've been watching things lately. Kind of don't think he is at this point, but I guess we're supposed to believe that. He wants to, there's a bunch of different crap in there. Let's focus on one of the main things, which was term limits for the Supreme Court. He wants to have term limits of 18 years. This would mean that each president, there's also another part in there that says like each president within the first 120 days would have the opportunity to pick a new Supreme Court justice. Bottom line is, you know, with nine justices in 18 years, you have one coming up every couple of years. And now, I kind of floated this online. Would you trade Supreme Court restrictions on term limits? Would you go with that? Would you have that if you could also get congressional ones? Like Congress would have to be limited? And you could talk me into it. You could talk me into it. I might go a little longer on the Supreme Court, maybe 25 years. But you could talk me into something. There's something there. But of course, this is not going anywhere. It's like this is like their bargain with Biden to get out. Hey, we'll support you on what? Supreme, whatever you're saying. Yeah, we'll do that. So that's out there. Janet Yellen says for the very, very bargain basement price, $3 trillion a year, we can fund climate transition. And that, if that doesn't sound great to you, then you are sane. Congratulations. I will say with inflation, honestly, $3 trillion isn't that much money anymore. I actually went to Taco Bell this weekend and got one of their value boxes. It was $4 trillion. So at this point, it doesn't really matter. Trump is defending female Secret Service agents who were criticized after the assassination attempt, saying they're so brave. And look, there is definitely bravery among Secret Service. I'd say most of the problems we have with Secret Service comes from the leadership, not necessarily the agents there standing in front of Donald Trump. There are criticisms I would have of having agents a foot taller or foot shorter than the actual person they're trying to protect. That's an issue. Not being able to holster your weapon seems to be an issue for some of the agents, though, again, you know, it's certainly a job that you need to be brave to have, number one. And number two, if you're Donald Trump, you better not say crap negative about the Secret Service. They're trying to protect you. So not a huge surprise there, but he did stand up for the female Secret Service agents. And the FBI decided they were going to chime in. There was a rumor that maybe, I don't know, maybe it was glass, maybe a giant mosquito hit Donald Trump's ear. Who knows? We don't know that it was a bullet. What if it was someone with a really powerful water gun made his ear bleed? We don't know. Well, the FBI has now said a bullet struck Trump's ear during the assassination attempt. Now, as we all know, with conspiracy theories, statements like this don't stop them. All the bullet truthers that were there yesterday are there again today. I, for one, don't understand what difference it makes, honestly, if it were to be just shrapnel, like if it hit a metal railing and the shrapnel deflected and hit him in the ear and made him bleed. There was still an assassin who took a shot at him. It wouldn't make any difference at all. But this has been something now the Keith Olbermans of the world now hang their hat on, like it's some important distinction. I will say, it wouldn't make any difference even if it was true. But of course, the conspiracy theory has never been true. It is not true. Donald Trump was hit with a bullet. It's a miracle the guy was hit in the ear and somehow survived that attack. It's a freaking miracle. But it was a miracle. It was real. Him standing up afterward in the triumphant fight moment, that was real. It's something, it's a reality you're going to have to deal with, and you can't wish it away no matter how hard you try, Democrats. Let me talk to you to some of those people out there who have a business. If you own a small business and you're thinking to yourself, holy crap, is this economy challenging right now? You've got all the increased regulation. You're sitting here hoping maybe some leadership changes, that this can get a little easier on you. But whether it changes or whether it doesn't, you still have the business. You still have to do things to change your situation. And let me tell you about a great one. It is something that you may not have heard of. It's called the Freedom Chamber. It's open for business. They just started this thing up. It's growing really fast, though. I would encourage you to get involved now. The Freedom Chamber is, when you get involved there, you're going to get exclusive benefits to help your business grow while being rooted in the values of family, faith, and freedom. I know Glenn and his company, realestateagentsitrust.com, we've talked about them before. One of the first companies that joined this, there are a lot of companies that, you know, have beliefs maybe like yours. People who actually believe in America, believe in the future of the America, believe in the free market, and want to connect with other businesses who do the same. You know, it's so hard to you're maybe doing business with other companies that are like, you know, doing all this woke stuff that you don't want to be involved with. How do you network with business owners? Where do you find businesses that you can work with that aren't, I don't know, insane? Well, the Freedom Chamber, their mission is to promote values like the ones I've talked about while fostering the growth, sustainability, and success of member companies. It's a chamber of businesses that come together and can help each other, but also supporting you with great benefits and robust resources and exclusive networking opportunities. I think you're really going to like this. If you're a business owner, check it out. Freedomchamber.net. Freedomchamber.net. It's new and it's exciting for business owners. I think you should get involved in it. Freedomchamber.net. You want to talk about stolen elections? Let me give you one. Venezuela. It appears that's what's happened in Venezuela for sure. Though, you know, we'll wait for more evidence to confirm that. But Nicolas Maduro, who is the authoritarian leader, had a real challenge and one that seemingly overwhelmed him by a large margin. It seemed like a lot of reports out there saying he had lost by something like 20 points. And then he all of a sudden just won. And now he's declared victory. Both sides have declared victory. If a civil war doesn't come to Venezuela, it'll be a wonderful development because they seem to be on the verge of that right now. All sorts of chaos going on in Venezuela. So pray for the people there because they've had a real rough few years anyway. And every time they've had an opportunity for things to be better, They have been unable to grasp it. So God only knows what's coming next. I will say a lot of them did OK because they kept their money not in the local currency, but in Bitcoin. That has been a major, major factor in Venezuela, especially people who have been leaving the country. Like a quarter of the population has already left the country, by the way. By the way, we also have Trump, who's now kind of done a 180 on cryptocurrency. He was a guy who said Bitcoin was bad. It's not real money. It's made out of thin air. He's totally reversed himself, gave probably the most positive crypto speech you'll ever hear, Bitcoin related, at the Bitcoin conference in Nashville, and was massively positive on Bitcoin. So real positive there. Even Kamala Harris seemingly is reaching out to the Bitcoin people. So kind of crazy that this is all happening. It's hit a 6-week high as well, and it's something around 67,000. All right, back in a second. Lots of great coverage on Blaze TV as we get through the election period. Make sure to subscribe. BlazeTV.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. You'll save some cash. BlazeTV.com/Stu. I'll see you tomorrow.